sermon, hang on. But I thought, I can't find a scripture for that, you know. But what I was feeling in my spirit, you know, is some of you just got to hang on to your faith. You might be in a trial. You might be going through some things. You're going to face some things. But when you start facing these things, you just hang on. You hang on to your faith. And I thought about the scripture where Jesus told Simon, he told him, this is right before he was going to the cross, and Simon, which is Peter, was going to deny him, and Jesus knew it. But Jesus told him, Satan has desired to sift you as sand, wheat. I always say it wrong, wheat. Jesus said, I've prayed that your faith fail not. He didn't pray. I thought about that today, praise God. And I thought about, you know, how that I'm real big on faith. I'm talking about personally. I just express here out of the pulpit what I am in life. I mean, I'm passionate about faith. I thank God for the faith of God. But that's not all we need. We need endurance. We need to build endurance in our life. And the only way to do that, you know, is when a trial comes to us, you know, and just like Mac, you know, confusion was there. Who's the author of that? Satan is the author of confusion. But God's Word is the truth. God's Word will help you not be confused about anything. Once you get the Word on it, now you've got faith. You've got faith in God, and then, you know, but I was thinking about hang on, just hang on. And some of you may, and it may not be anybody here, it may be, because we're all over the world. We're not a small ministry. We're going into all the world and preaching the gospel. And just like Mac, he'll, you know, like we all do, it can bother us when people leave the church. But we can't look at that. We look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we don't let anything like that discourage us from moving forward as a church. And that can even, you know, I missed church one Sunday night, you know, just didn't want to go to church. And I was evangelizing and all that. And I felt good till about 8:15. And that's about when we got out of service. You know, and I just felt awful. And I'm like, Lord, what'd I do? I mean, I'm just sitting here and all of that. How come I feel this way, Lord? And the Lord said, your not being there can discourage the body. He said, your presence there encourages people. You know, I thought, man, I never thought about it like that, you know, praise God. But see what God was doing, God was saying to me at that time, you're not going, you're not faithful. You know, even though I wasn't doing anything wrong, I just thought I'd take an evening off and rest. But the Lord was showing me that just the presence of the believers coming together encourages one another. Praise God. And that's why it's really important. But some of you just, I mean, Satan, he'll get you, try to get you not to come to church. He starts talking to me on Monday, you're not going to get nothing to preach on Wednesday. Monday, what's that got to do with Wednesday? Because our adversary, the devil, is roaming to and fro seeking someone he can trip up like that, devour like that. You know, and I had this sense since first of the week, the atmosphere, not in here. See, we got to learn to be led from an inward man, not the thoughts and not the way things, but I had this sense, you know, that things were not going to work out, just that sense, you know. And then all of a sudden I thought, no, all is well. So if you feel like things are not going to work out, it's not what it appears. The enemy is trying to get you to get in fear. Then he has a tool to work on you. Fear will talk to you. Fear of not having enough. Fear of not being successful. Fear, you know, in ministry. When you are in ministry and you are doing ministry, you are going to get attacked by the enemy. And don't get all devil-minded, because he is defeated. He's already defeated, and the only thing that he has is your permission to cross over into your life through fear or however how you feel. That's why I preach here and teach here, to make quality decisions based on God's Word. I made a quality decision that I'm going to love people. I'm going to love through the love of Jesus, praise God, and that's how come love can't be broken. See, when you walk in love, you're building faith through the Word of God, and you're going to walk in the love of God. You're developing the love of God, and you will have opportunities to develop the love of God. You will have it at home. You'll have it with your neighbors. Somebody pulled out in front of us right before we got to church, and we got the two grandkids there. Therese had to slam on the brakes lay on the horn, man. You know, what's wrong with you, lady? You know, and it made me really want to just jump out over there on that side and just go ahead and jump up on the hood and kick the windshield through. Y'all quiet. I didn't do it. Well, see, that was my opportunity right there, Johnny. That was my opportunity to quickly respond God's way. See, if you're used to responding to the flesh and trained to the flesh, that's what's going to come every time. Every time. If you're used to getting mad when somebody does you wrong or don't react the right way, and it just seems to be uncontrollable to you, it's because you have trained the flesh. But how you do it is you quickly, see, how you respond in situations is going to determine the power of God that is able, and the grace of God that is able to operate in mine and your life. And I mean, it can increase. God's increasing. He's got us on the move. So if you're going through, the title that Beth put was When Challenges Come. You will not go through this life without challenges. You won't. You might as well get that settled in your mind. Jesus said it. He said, in this life, you're going to have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. In other words, in Him, I mean, He overcame me getting mad. He took that. He took everything that owned Him so that we can be like Him. Now, I'm not perfect. I've still got some things I'm working on, and I'm under construction, all that, but I ain't where I was last year. Amen? I'm determined, praise God, to grow on up in Him. And the only way that I'm going to do that, the Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby, develop thereby, enlarge thereby, get stronger in the Lord, get stronger in faith. I'm praying this afternoon, and I said, thank you, Lord, for Faithway Christian Center, that ministry that you've given us to operate in. And I thank you, Lord, that everyone in there, their hearts are fixed, trusting in you, and makes us strong. And that's what the Bible says, the righteous, and I believe it's Proverbs 28:1, it says the righteous are as bold as a lion. We're bold against the enemy. We're bold against failing. And we're on the road to victory. We're going to heaven, but we're on this road of and to victory. It's a road of victory. I mean, I should have went to prison. They staked it all out and all of that before I got saved. So that they busted the place that had it all that, you know, praise God. And I never got the just sentence that I was supposed to get. Why? Because mercy and grace stepped into my life. I put my trust in Jesus Christ, and now instead of selling drugs and killing people, now I'm preaching the power of the gospel. I was thinking about it the other day. I was laying there, and I was thinking about my journey from the time I got born again. I was thinking about how that God quickly began to open doors for me. Open doors to witness about Jesus. Open doors to tell of how that I'd got born again, you know, and not in a state of trying to push people to Jesus, because you couldn't push me to Jesus. Jesus knocked on my heart and I responded to Jesus. Jesus didn't find me. I was the one lost. He knew exactly where I was, praise the Lord. And I was thinking about my journey, and I thought, oh, this is glorious, God. Everybody that comes to Faithway Christian Center, and they get born again, and Lord, and and people that you're going to draw into that place, Lord, that's got a destiny that they don't even know anything about the destiny that you have for them. But you're going to raise them up. God, we're going to teach them the word, and you're going to fill them with your spirit. You're going to empower them with your anointing and your grace. And we're going places in this church right here. This church is going, there's a glory, a greater glory that's going to come on this church as we move forward in the time that we live in this dark world. Let it get darker. And let it get darker. I mean, the Bible says darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness will cover the people. But he said, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. Now we got, and I've preached it here, to be steady in the storm. Well, Mac, I went through a storm like you went through a storm in your younger Christian life. And I went through a storm and I was yielding to the storm. And then all of a sudden, you know, the Lord asked me what I preached or did it a different way to you. Well, I got steady then. I steadied myself up. I got steady in the storm. My heart fixed on the Lord, and the Lord supernaturally brought a blessing to me because of that natural storm. And he brought a blessing to my son. But you know what? We had the opportunity, both of us, to yield in fear. You know what that means? That means I wanted to stand there and make sure that he seen everything that hell did. Why? So I could get the full payment of what that storm did to my house. But I refused it, and I counseled Travis to refuse it too. I counseled him to refuse. Why? Because I realized that this was a pivotal point of God being able to move and bless me, or me yielding the wrong way and him and stopping him. And then I brought that to this church. What I learned through that thing, you know, and I didn't bring it. I don't tell stories. When I get up here and give a testimony of my life, I'm giving God glory in here, praise God, portraying the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he brought that blessing in. So some of you, and you're going to be tempted to fear. You're going to. It's a spirit of fear. God hadn't given us that spirit. That spirit, fear will make you cowardless toward the things of God. Cower down to the enemy. Cower down to your light bill. Cower down to something you're facing, some hardship. Cower down. Fear will make you cower down. Fear will tell you what it could do to you and how it could take you under. You won't hear it with these ears, but this mind right here will begin to work and how it looks bad. So if you have been having this feeling, things are not going good, things ain't going to work out, you better cast that thing down. According to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, the Bible says that we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. He says, for the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. He says, casting down them arguments. I had to do it with the women preachers. The realm that I was in, and I'm not bringing that up, I was taught that wasn't God, that they're supposed to be silent in the church. And you know what, praise God? I mean, I seen it in there. I thought, well, it's got to be right, you know. But I went to study out how come Paul said that. I went to the context up above it and below it. And then I read a scripture where it says the word will bear witness three or more times. So I went in there and I tried to find where Jesus said women shouldn't teach. I tried to find where Paul said it. I tried to find where Matthew, where Luke, Mark and Luke and John. I couldn't find it in the Bible but that one place. And so then I begin to look and I begin to say, well, now what I'm saying here, I turn to this Bible. I turn to this Bible because I wasn't settled in my heart about that issue. Well, I've done it on money. I did it on my marriage. I did it on this ministry right here, trying to make quality decisions based on the Word of God. In those quality decisions, all you're doing is taking Romans 10:17. Now you're building faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And once you get faith, then they ain't a devil in hell can stop you. There ain't a devil in hell. There's not a wrong spirit. There's not false prophets. Well, I begin to find out. I begin to go and look and see how many women that Jesus used. The first one that was sent to give a message by Jesus Christ was a woman. That's right. I looked all through the Old Testament and seen all them women that were prophetesses and all of that in the Old Testament. And then I was like, I got it settled. I don't need nobody tell me anymore that God, and then I seen him make a donkey talk. I thought, man, if he can cause a donkey to talk, well then surely to God he can use a woman. Then I run across the scripture over there where it says that there's neither bond, free, male or female, Jew or Greek. I found out that the Spirit of God comes on a man or a woman, praise God, then he's ordained them. He's give them authority to go forward in the name of Jesus. Well, how many knows you got authority over fear? I've give you the scripture, and I'm sure you've read it your own self in the Bible. Now, all you got to do is believe it. You got to believe that word. You choose to believe. It ain't got to be goosebumps and hair standing up. I can shave my head off and don't change my faith. See, I've done determined if I live a life of faith, true faith, if I live a life of faith, then I don't have to change when the economy gets rough, when gas goes up, when whatever's taking place. You don't have to change because you're already in a place of expectation that no matter what you face in life, that your Jehovah Jireh, your provider, your El Shaddai, your deliverer is in you and for you, and he's not against you. And I believe the best of the church is yet to come. I don't care what it looks like in the natural. I listen to preachers out there and they're saying, well, the church is in decline. It's in decline. And I went on there one pastor because I like him. And I like to hear him. But when it gets negative like that, I don't like it. Because the Bible says he's coming back after a glorious church. So I went on there and I said, well, the church is not in decline. I said, the people are. Leave the church out of it. There's a remnant from Genesis all the way to Revelation, but God, they're not in decline. They're moving forward with Jesus. They're going forward with him. You could say it was in decline when 17 or 70 left, however many left Jesus. You could have said the church, nah, he was the church. So don't let church members and people and talk to you about that stuff and get you discouraged about the church. The church is on fire. I see all of y'all on fire myself. Burn, baby, burn. I see the enemy coming. I see him trying to get you, confused about things. But he can't do it because you know who the author of that is. So you fast and you pray and you seek the Lord. That's normal for us, to go to the Lord. Went to a guy one time. I told him, I said, have you prayed? He's going through some hard stuff. He says, has it come to that? And I said, what do you mean, has it come to that? Prayer should have been done before you even done anything. I told somebody today, they're talking about somebody being the Lord a long time, making bad choice, blah, 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 life in bad shape. I said, I don't feel sorry for them. I said, I don't got time to feel sorry for people. I said, the thing I see when somebody been in the Lord a long time, I said, and they didn't get their life jacked up from the floor up, they're leaving the counsel of this word right here. There's no way God's people's jacked up. Not that they're right. Not that they're, I said, you know what? I said, the thing about it is, I said, they have the same Jesus. They have the same opportunity, pray God. I said, and I think about my own life. When I got born again, me and Teresa just dove into that Bible. We started, you know, cutting off secular music and cutting off, you know, cussing and pornography on the TV. We wasn't going to watch the stuff. We poured into the Word of God, praying and fasting, going to church, trying to do what the preacher said at church. And before you know it, we were spiritual giants to a lot of people that was around us. We're amazed. And I'm like, what's going on here? I didn't even realize it, Johnny. Sometimes you grow and you don't realize you're growing. You're just walking all over the devil, and everybody else is like, oh, the devil. And you're like, where's he at? Let me get him. Then you're going to get persecution on that when you're in faith, believing God and getting you miracles. They're going to say, who do you think you are with that confession? The Bible says, The Bible says every man that says that Jesus has not come in the flesh is Antichrist. He's been here in the flesh. And he's in our flesh. And the Bible says, test the spirits to see if they are of God. I told that person today, I said, let me tell you something. I said, every believer must learn, according to Romans 8:14, to be led or open to the Holy Spirit. I said, the Holy Spirit will sometimes lead you into fire. He led me down here. I'm sitting out there under a tree. This building was a wreck. I couldn't even come back here. I would get flat discouraged, because of how much it was going to take and how much effort it was going to take and money it was going. So what I'm saying here, and I would get up, I had a bucket sitting right there, Mac. That floor wasn't even in. None of this was. This is an old building. And I'd sit there trying to dream, and the dream was just so big, you know, I would get out. I'd have to get out of here. I'd go get out of this building. I'd be like, oh, Jesus, help me see it, help me see it. I know you've told me to, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, right now. So I had to work on cast out that fear, praise God. And then one day I come in here, glory to God, and I didn't sit down, and I looked around, and I said, I call you done in the name of Jesus. I said, God's going to supply all my needs. According to what you do is you take what God has told you. He said, you're the healed of God. Now, what that means is you get up in your living room and praise Him. Right in the middle of your toe hurting and your head hurting and your everything hurting. I don't Google a lot of symptoms. I do not Google too many symptoms. Because I Google them. I don't Google. I don't Google my medicine too much. I'm like, I'm going to be dead in 5 years with all these side effects. But I take some natural medicine, but I add my prayer and faith and all of that with it. Glory to God that the ministry of Jesus working in my body, praise the Lord. See, just hang on, because your breakthrough will come. He's a God of breakthrough. I went to rezone this church, this building. It was zoned residential. Y'all know the story, so I'm not going to go through the whole bit. The minute that I started the process so we could have church here, I was actually having Bible study in that part back there in my office that was built out of pallets. That whole wall was built out of pallets. That's it. Illegal. I didn't know it was illegal till I went to rezone. But the minute that I started to rezone, challenges started. I mean, opposition started. And you know who it was? It was people. But I already knew the scripture over there where it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So if these people giving you trouble and you're trying to serve Jesus, don't go to looking at them. You look down there and you attack the one that is influencing them. And you know what? Before you know it, they'll just hang themselves in the bed of your life. You'll be like, woo, yeah, baby. I hung on and deliverance came. Hallelujah. That was a word of the Lord for some of you. You got some of them people, prayed God, they're like an old tick, man. They just bury down and try to hang on. just keep on getting fat off of it and getting fat off of it. Before you know it, there's some things called raid. When Jesus comes in, Teresa turned the windshield was fogging up. She went over there and turned that on. And I mean just instantly it went, shoo, cleared up. And I thought, man, I told her, I said, I didn't know how fogged up it was. Till you. I said, that's the way the Holy Ghost is. And I thought about Vic Victory and Terry Trial. I thought about them and I thought, man, and I always say, I butcher that. No, I don't butcher it. I just heard Brother Keith Moore preach it, and it just done some good in me, and I just want to preach it. Now, I don't preach it just like him, but pray God I get my point across. But you know what? I thought, you know what? I got to be like Vic Victory. Oh, Vic Victory, I mean, he could climb them mountains and never lose a mile an hour, man. Just climb on over. Well, Terry Trial, he's always in a trial. Poor old Terry Trial over there, he just make it up, putt, has put his flag out and pushed the car a little bit to try to get over the hill. The same hill that Vic Victory went over. But you know the difference in the two? Vic Victory, he put him a holly on there. He's running a four-bar holly, man. He got the word. He got the power sitting on top of that engine. He keeps some good AC Delco spark plugs in there. He don't buy them cheap ones. He gets the good spark plugs. Why? So it's working good. He don't get that low octane. He puts some high dollar gas in there. He's not really concerned too much about what it costs, because he knows God supplies all his needs according to his riches. He knows that he can operate good, but you know what? He ain't got WZZK on in there either. He got 93.7. He might have a little Jensen Franklin going on right before he gets into that 93.7. Now old Terry Trial over here, he's all day long talking about nobody, no, oh, economy's bad. This government we have, oh, if it wasn't for them people, my neighbor would shut up, I could sleep all night. But Big Victory is, and he wonders why he don't never change his oil in his vehicle. He got an old quadrajet, whatever it is, carburetor on there. Praise God. He don't never put good gas in it, man. Goes down there and buys the cheap stuff, even though he knows it's got water in it. Rainbow, no, I better not say that. Johnny, you nearly got me. Praise the Lord. But you know what, praise God? Old Terry Trial, he don't never fast. He goes around just backbiting the people at church. Bunch of hypocrites. You know, ain't no need going to church. Preacher's boring. He just gets on my nerves. He won't let you testify long. He just can't shut up. He goes 1 hour and 10 minutes sometimes. Well, it's because Travis done got 4 songs in there instead of 3. You ain't taking up my time. but you know, I thought about him. I thought, you know, Lord, I remember back when I was Terry, that Terry Trial. Poor old me. Why is everybody persecuting me? Why am I going through this? Why is my wife acting up? Why do I act up when she does? Why? I'm trying to preach the gospel. I'm trying to serve Jesus. But you know what? I got on in there a little bit like Vic Victory, praise God. I started turning off and cutting off the things of the world out of my mind. My building tries to burn my mind. Any project I start tries to stay on my mind until I get it done. And I have to control my mind. I mean, you know, used to build a little doghouse and I'm done in 3 hours. Now I'm working on this building now for about 5 months. Now I'm motivated to get it done, praise God. And the Lord strengthens you to get the vision that you have done for your life. But if you stay over here in the mully grubs, you know, Satan tries to make people think that they're just depressed. The doctor tells them, you've got depression. You've got depression. We'll try you on this pill. Well, it puts you to sleep. You can't even listen to the sermon. Had a guy one time come to church, and he's back there. After church, I said, "What's wrong with you, man?" "Well, I said, "Don't you know better than that? To take painkillers right before church?" I said, come on, man, just endure a little pain. Pop you one when you get out yonder. You didn't hear nothing I said. That's a Terry Trial one. Oh, my head was hurting a little, so I took it. I'm faithful to church, though, but you didn't get nothing. You go out Monday and you still defeated. Because Satan's got you bound in your mind. I'm not going to depend on medicine. I take medicine. I'm not anti-medicine. I'm not anti-doctor. But the Bible says that he healed the brokenhearted. He set the oppressed free. Come on, somebody. The Bible says, as you think in your heart, so are you. That's why I say it a lot here. Get you some quality decisions about whatever you're going through, whatever ailment you got, whatever your financial crisis is. Get you some word on it. Renew your mind to it. It'll transform your life, and you will see the glory of God. Then be able to move in and work. I told a fella today, I'm going to try to close with this. I told a fella today, I said, the Lord dropped it in my heart. I said, I heard Christians and heard people in the church. Oh, you're going to go through dry spells. You're going to go through dry seasons. And praise the Lord. I'm like, how can you praise Him? That's not good news, man. Church is depressing me here. I've lived with my wife depressed now. You know? And so anyways, I'm on a fast. Somebody say on a fast. Everybody need a fast. Don't let down on your fasting now. You know, keep fasting, doing it towards the Lord. And pray as much as you can. Well, anyways, the Lord spoke to me, dropped it in my spirit. I didn't hear it here, I heard it here. He said, you never have to be dry spiritually. Never. And so I told the Lord, and I was telling this guy that. I said, I told the Lord, Lord, I need scripture for that. You know, that's not what I'm hearing from the church. It's not what I'm hearing for people. You know, I need some scripture for that because I feel dry sometimes. And the Lord reminded me of the scripture where it says, draw out of the wells of salvation. Then it reminded me of another scripture where the woman was at the well. And she's fixing to draw natural water. And Jesus stepped up there. And Jesus told her, he said, you drink of that water, you will thirst again. But if you drink of this water I will give you, you will never thirst again. I thought, glory to God. Well, you know what? I told that guy, I said, the only time I get dry spiritually is when I don't pray, I don't listen to sermons, I don't talk to the Holy Spirit, I don't praise God. I said, you know, I don't, whatever I know God's wanting me to do, I don't do it and prolong it. I said, grieving the Holy. I done realized, and I don't have to, and neither do you. Never have to be spiritually dry. You can't stay dry praising Him. Look for everything going on in my life. That, you're the very one that needs to be praising Him. Come on, somebody. It's not when we're here at church and you ain't got no bills due and everything, the IRS is done off your back. You done got your taxes paid. You know, then you can praise the Lord. No, you praise Him all the way up to it. You praise Him through the storm. And learn how to get steady in it. Learn how to have some endurance. Because God backs all of that stuff up. And before you know it, things get established in your life. In Psalm 66:12, it says, you went through the fire, you went through the flood, me and Roto, but I brought you out into a wealthy place, an abundant place. So keep your head up, hang on, and expect to be delivered. Expect deliverance to come. And when you get into something, praise God, nothing crosses God's desk that He don't see. I mean, He's looking over all of us. He sees all of us, and He's like, yep, have you considered Doris? Doris is like, oh, no, not me. That's what he told Satan with Job. Have you considered him? He won't turn. He's not going to bow. He's not going to. That's what he sees with y'all. Because you've got the blood of Jesus now. He just sends the enemy sometimes. Go get him. Why? He's wanting you to take him down. He brings you to where he's got strongholds because he knows you'll take him down. He sends you to the nursing home and you can preach them live 120 years. It's in the Bible. Hospice come into my mom and I said, not ready to go yet. They said, well, hospice is the last draw. I said, they come to the wrong address. They come over to my address. Our last draw is this Bible right here. Nobody's gone and stood on it. Praise God it works. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus.